Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 at WGN, a good Monday morning, everyone. It is just approaching 640 on this Monday morning. John Hansen in for Bob Surratt till 9. Bob and Marianne dealing with a family emergency here today, so I'll be with you till John Williams at 9. And as always on Mondays, we're joined by the great Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Center of DuPage. Dr. Most, thanks for hopping on with us again this morning.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're getting through it. 312-981-7200 is the line. If you got any questions, we've had a few come in. I want to start with remarks from not only President-elect Biden, but also Dr. Fauci. It's such a strange juxtaposition, all the good news we have and vaccines happening. But the reality is, and I guess I want your opinion on this, that unfortunately, for the next couple of weeks and maybe next month or so, the worst, quote-unquote, is still at our doorstep here.
Oh, 100%. You know, we've known that we've had this surge that's been going on since about mid-December. And then with the holiday travel, certainly is concerning. And, you know, here in Illinois, we're a little bit sheltered. The mitigation efforts by the governor and the mayor have got our positivity rate down to about 8.5%. But you have to look at states like Virginia, 18%, Georgia, 25%, Pennsylvania, close to 40%. Mm. So it's definitely around the country. So we're seeing all the news on California, where their positivity rate's about 15, and Arizona at 20. But we still have major concerns about what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks, and we expect to see a bump here in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about the gross numbers that we've had, gross, not obviously the type of number, you know what I'm saying, the numbers of cases that we've had, obviously we had this giant spike in November and through December, and even it's eased off a little bit, still really high numbers, all things considered. And people wonder, well, what about all these mitigation efforts? They've really had no effect. But of course, that isn't true. You can't prove the negative. We talked about that last week. But one thing about the mitigation efforts, which I appreciate, is that it at least offers our government and our businesses these levers, to ease off, so like restaurants might start to slowly open up again. That's the rumor. We might have some indoor dining again. And that's the nice thing about having the levers, is you can kind of tug and pull and affect these numbers in some way, at least.
Absolutely. And, you know, the business side of it is one thing, and I feel for all the restaurant owners, and we do need to get that back. But I also look at the science side of it, and you know, and when we say, oh, the mitigation, it really doesn't do anything. It really isn't important. Well, look at what we're seeing just with flu activity. We have almost zero flu activity going on right now, which shows us that the mitigation factors actually work. You know, this would be we'd be in the middle of flu season right now with, you know, 40, 50 flu admissions here at each hospital. Well, we don't have that right now because flu is so low, because we're wearing masks, we're distancing, we're washing our hands, we're doing all the things that not only have limited the spread of COVID here in Chicagoland, but also influenza.
Mm-hmm. 708 wonders, when will vaccination phase 1B begin?
Hopefully very soon. You know, we should be getting through 1A here, I would say, in the next week and a half, and then you would expect 1B, which is fortunate because, you know, the governor made some changes with 1B, and, you know, the essential workers, then he had those over the age of 75, he moved that to 65. So although the timing of it is there, what we really need now is the logistics of how are we going to get shots in arms? Are we going to take over the United Center and do 24/7 vaccinations? Are we going to go to county fairgrounds in each of the counties and do that? Those are the plans that we haven't heard yet. We should have ample supply of the vaccine. Now it's how do we get the shots in the arms in the most effective way.
I was reading a story about India and their goal to get 300 million people vaccinated by July and doing similar things that you're talking about, big drives. Who would run that? Is that a state thing? Is that a federal government? Is it a relationship between all of that and the county government? I mean, who do we talk to?
Yeah, you would hope that the states would take it and then push it down to the county level. You would hope that the federal government has some oversight. I can tell you one of the biggest things we're looking at right now is the funding of that. How are we going to fund it? And the reason I say that is, you know, nurses or well-trained medical assistants can give the shots. Well, I hate to tell you guys, but they're all very busy in the hospital.
Yeah.
So we don't have a whole army of them to come in. Now, could we use National Guard medics and mobilize them? Absolutely. Could we do some other unique things? Certainly could, but it's really going to come down to the funding and the logistics. And it would be sad if we had the vaccine sitting in freezers and we don't have the staff to get them into the arms of individuals quickly.
630 chimed with in with, I'm a high-risk case just getting over the virus, so that's good news. Should I get the vaccine or am I safe with the antibodies?
We're suggesting everyone get the vaccine. So although you might have had the illness, just like we do with influenza, someone that says, geez, I had influenza, should I still get the shot? Absolutely. It just reinforces your immune system, and especially someone like that who is in the high-risk population. We don't know how your immune system, the natural immunity, how long it's going to work and how well it's going to work. So certainly we know the science behind the vaccines, so I would certainly recommend get in line as soon as you can to get that shot.
John Hansen for Bob Surratt this morning, 6:50 on this Monday morning. Dr. Kevin Most joining us as always. And Dr. Most, some great questions coming in. 630-1B, my husband qualifies under 1A and for a vaccination. He can't find anywhere to get vaccinated. When we call, all the hospitals still vaccinating their employees. We live in DuPage County. He works in Cook County. Where can he go?
Yeah, well, we will see the 1As. There's the 1A and then there's a subset of 1A. So certainly a lot of the hospitals and health systems are trying to get all of their employees. There's a lot of independent practitioners out. So I know DuPage Medical Group, if he lives in DuPage County, he should look at contacting the DuPage Medical Group. They have been a phenomenal partner throughout the entire county doing a lot of the independent practitioners. So if they live in DuPage County, that would be the one place that I would look. And we'll also, you'll also start to see the hospitals getting to a point where they have done all their employees, and now they are going to start opening it up to others. So, but if he's in DuPage County, that's where I would look.
Do you have to wait? I guess what I'm saying is, do they wait to go into the next phase, like they build in both the doses into the phase, and they won't go on, so at least like 3 weeks per phase or 4 or 5? Is there any sense of that?
Well, we definitely build in the second dose, but that will not stop us from going into 1B. That 3 week wait, we're not going to wait to do that. We have those vaccines set aside already. The state has done that,
okay.
So we will certainly start the 1Bs as we're getting the 1As, their second shot.
Okay, 708, and this is a question I always have: is there a registration process for the vaccine? How will we know when we can go or where? And it seems like such a silly question, but it's not. I mean, I think people don't know exactly what. It's not like there's like a big bullhorn that goes off announcing when each thing goes. I guess keep it here and you'll keep us posted.
Yeah, John, it's one of our most frustrating thing. It's like simple blocking and tackling of logistics is how are we going to get people in the queue? We certainly don't want lines like they have in Florida. You know, all right, it's 70 degrees in Florida. You don't mind standing outside. But here, you know, when we're in the teens and 20s, we certainly want to make sure that this is a much more smooth process. You will start to see a lot of the private doctor's offices at one time in the future here starting to queue those up. But really, it's going to be how are we going to get the general public and queue them in a registration point of view, because we have to register them. These vaccines are still being used on what we call an EUA. So we have to track any side effects and any concerns because we're still learning a lot about it. So it's not going to be as simple as, oh, just give me a shot, I'm going to go. No, we have to explain to you what the EUA is, give you the shot, make sure that you have an access point to tell us about any side effects.
They want to know, can you still take antibiotics for other infections after having the COVID vaccine?
100%. Bacteria and viruses are two totally different things. We use antibiotics to fight off bacterial infections. So even if you're being treated for a pneumonia or a cellulitis or any other infection, you certainly can get the vaccine.
Pregnant women, vaccine or no vaccine?
You know, the study unfortunately did not cover pregnant women. Now, the science behind it says that it should have no issue on the fetus and it should protect the mother. But we're telling everyone who is pregnant to check with their obstetrician and to see what they feel. Some obstetricians are leaning more towards the Pfizer vaccine because of some of the side effects with Moderna. But that's really a patient doctor. Talk to your obstetrician before getting in line.
Texter wants to know they have an adult child with Down syndrome as well as other complications that decrease their immune system. Is she in group 1B? They're hearing conflicting information.
No, she would be in group 1B. You know, that's an immunocompromised person. That's someone that is more vulnerable and at higher risk, and living with a parent that potentially is going to be over the age of 65 as well.
My husband is 78 years old with COPD. We're trying to figure out when and how he can get the vaccine.
Yeah. That this is the million-dollar question that we're trying to figure out, the logistics of all these people that are going to start to fall into this 1B group, mm-hmm. of how we're going to deliver that vaccine to them. I'll just give you an example. You know, here at Central DuPage, we've been able to do 2,000 people in 10 hours. So we have 15 nurses that are rotating in and out. They're coming down, doing an hour of their shift, doing vaccines, and then going back up to the floor. Well, we can get 250 people an hour through our queue, but they're all our captive audience. They're all here on campus already. We couldn't handle 1,000 cars in our parking lot and still be able to get ambulances in and out and do our regular business.
Yeah, it really seems like we're going to need like a big event area to really tackle some of these when we get a lot more people eligible.
Yeah, John, we're either going to need a big event area that goes 24/7, or we're going to need multiple sites so that we don't have a big line at one. You know, if we can spread this out over each county taking, saying, we want 40 different sites in your county, you know, then the queue is going to be much easier than if you say, okay, we're going to put one site and then try to jam everybody through it. But the logistics of this, someone needs to really sit down here quickly. Now, I know the governor's working on it. I can tell you the people at DuPage County are certainly working on it. And I'm sure Mayor Lightfoot and Dr. Ezeki in Cook County are as well.
Now, I don't like needles, so I won't administer them, but I'll help direct traffic or something. Dave Ennett can hold a clipboard. Steve Grzanich will give him a job. We could get this thing done in a weekend.
I'm telling you, that's part of it. We have what we call the air traffic controller for us. And we have a vaccination room, like I said, that has 15 different people. Our queue is coming in, and we're going, you go to number 3, you go to number 2. I think Dave can do that as long as we keep the numbers below 20.
I think so, yes.
He's used to counting. He knows scores. He does that.
That's right. I'm stats, I'm good.
Yeah, Grzanich can be our entertainer. He can give news updates, walk through the cars, you know, through the windows.
I'd like to jab people, too, if that's possible.
Well, okay, Steve Grzanich wants to be the jabber. Okay. We all have different roles to play in this, Dr. Most. 815, actually, we've had a few questions like this about getting the vaccines while you have COVID. I imagine you would never advise someone that was, you know, had COVID and knew that of ever giving a risk to someone else. Although I imagine, unbeknownst to people, there probably have been people that have gotten the vaccine while they've been positive.
Absolutely. We assume that a whole bunch of people have gotten the vaccine while they've been positive. We have to remember, we're not testing prior to giving the vaccine. We know that 60 to 70% of the spread of the vaccine is from asymptomatic people. So we certainly are giving that. You know, the person that actually has COVID, I would say, if you have COVID and mild symptoms, okay, go ahead and get it. If you have COVID and more severe symptoms, we're going to let your immune system, we're not going to confuse it. We're going to do everything we can, and then we're going to vaccinate you shortly thereafter.
Text from 847, my daughter's a school nurse who will be done at the end of June, interested in helping with vaccine distribution. What would you recommend that she do, even though she's only probably going to be available for about 9 weeks or so? Are there going to be temporary help that's needed and people can kind of jump in, jump out?
100%. I would, depending on where she lives, I would contact her county health department. She could even contact her local health system there. We certainly will be looking for anybody who has the qualifications to put a needle in an arm, because that is going to be the rate limiting step right now.
Listener Mary just wants to say a heartfelt thanks to Dr. Most and WGN for providing this COVID information. We do appreciate your time, Dr. Most.
John, take care. Yeah. We'll talk soon
for sure.